Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome one and all to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus. And Jim, just in case people had a huge craving for another Republican presidential debate, because, you know, it's been since Wednesday, since the previous one happened. So the Tea Party Express and CNN got together on Monday night in Florida in what I have to say was a much better run debate, I thought, than the one MSNBC did at the Reagan Library. You actually found out that there were more than two people on stage, more topics getting involved as well. Wolf Blitzer, of course, introducing Social Security right off the bat, given the whole Ponzi scheme controversy. And here's a little bit of the back and forth between Romney and Perry.
But the real question is, does Governor Perry continue to believe that Social Security should not be a federal program, that it's unconstitutional, and it should be returned to the states? Or is he going to retreat from that view?
Let's let Governor Perry respond. You have 30 seconds.
If what you're trying to say is that back in the 30s and the 40s that the federal government made all the right decisions, I disagree with you.
And so it was like that. A lot more combative, I think, than the early debates. I think for the most part, they still did a good job, Jim, of keeping the focus on the fact that Obama needs to go. But they definitely got more elbows with each other as well. I was definitely on Perry's side when it came to the Social Security debate. That, you know, with both of us in our mid-30s, I think we probably agree that it pretty much is a Ponzi scheme. And the way the financing currently goes right now, the status quo will not be there for a lot of and millions of people who have paid in. And something needs to change. And Perry also took a lot of hits from conservatives on issues like what he's done on the borders, passing what a lot of people consider a similar thing to the DREAM Act. So how can he be tough on immigration? And, of course, he got beaten over the head from Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann, and pretty much anybody else who was paying attention in the room over his brief decision to mandate HPV vaccines for young teenage girls. So an interesting night all the way around. Not really sure who gained, who lost. Perry probably the most sore this morning, if you were to liken it to a boxing match.
Yeah, I think this was a night where I don't think anyone came out of this unscathed. I think it was not, and it was not necessarily ticky-tack issues of dispute here. I think there were some pretty big ones. I think Rick Perry came out of this a little bit shaken. I think there are probably a bunch of Perry fans who will disagree with me on this, but people had said that last night was kind of make or break for Bachmann. She had seemed to kind of fade into the background for a good chunk of the last debate. And I think in the first half of last night, I think a lot of people, you know, easy to forget that she was on stage, and it really looked like it was going to be the Perry versus Romney show. And then two issues came up. One was the HPV vaccine, where she just tore him to shreds. And I think that he really came out looking the worst for this. Now, this morning, there are a lot of people are saying that her rhetoric on this veered on the edge of demagoguery. She talked about government needles going into young girls. But on the other hand, I think there is for a lot of voters, there'll be this visceral reaction about the state government mandating a STD vaccine to girls as young as 10 or 11. I'm not saying that the policy does not have its values there, but I think a lot of parents will just kind of instinctively recoil at that. And as Rick Perry was answering questions about this last night, he was actually smiling at one point. And it just kind of struck me as just very incongruous. And you could see him, you know, having a problem with certain social conservatives on this one. And then he got trouble on immigration. And obviously, John McCain can tell you immigration issues may not necessarily prevent you from winning the Republican nomination. But this is a issue very big to a lot of Republicans. And the idea of anything resembling the DREAM Act comes too close to amnesty in a lot of Republicans' eyes. And I think considering how Perry was coming out as the small government law and order candidate, the idea of him being, you know, mandating vaccines and helping out those who are here illegally really is kind of incongruous with the image that I think a lot of Republicans had of him. So I think that's where he may run into some serious damage. We will see. I kind of think that it helps him that it's on opposite Monday Night Football. And I think people are kind of tuned out, or I don't know how much people were tuned into this one. There is another one on the 22nd. I do think he's got to turn in at some point some boffo debate performance. And he had a few good lines last night. But I think if he wants to really, you know, seize this nomination and establish himself as an almost unstoppable frontrunner, he's got to go into one of these debates and just look on top of everything. And he looked a little bit slow and kind of half not robust in his defenses last night, at least from where I sit, Greg.
As you point out in the Morning Jolt, the Twitter feed definitely running in both directions on those key issues. I think there was overall a little bit of a plus for Bachman, simply due to what you just said, that if there's a few chinks in the armor for Rick Perry on key social conservative issues, then that brings Bachman back into the game, because until he got in, she seemed to be the leading conservative challenger to Mitt Romney, seen as the establishment challenger. So if Perry stumbles, she's going to be the one that would likely step up, if that happens. The other interesting thing that's happening is all these other people coming out who aren't directly involved in the race, Sarah Palin, Mike Huckabee, really going after Rick Perry. And it's interesting to see that even some of the more Tea Party types like Sarah Palin don't have a lot of good things to say about Rick Perry. And it's, you got to wonder why. I don't know if it's anything specific that happened between the two of them, but it seems like all these other figures are coming out of the woodwork, making sure that Mitt Romney's getting the upper hand between the two, or at least they're trying to, except for Bobby Jindal, of course, who's just endorsed Governor Perry.
It just got an interesting note there. You're right. I think basically at this point, Bachman is kind of the hinge of the nomination, that if Rick Perry is considered the conservative choice and really the lone serious electable conservative choice, no offense to the fans of Santorum or Herman Cain or Newt Gingrich out there, then it's Perry's to win. If the conservative vote is split between Perry and Bachman, then it's much easier to envision a scenario in which Mitt Romney is kind of the unified establishment candidate. And while I don't think the establishment, so to speak, is a majority in the party, it easily is a large plurality. And with that, you know, that in a way, Romney wants Bachman in this as long as possible and wants her as you know, vocal and prominent as possible. So the idea that Bachman and Perry could be, you know, splitting the same demographic.
Meanwhile, as we mentioned before, nobody with a lot of kind words for President Obama, and he gave us more reason not to utter many kind words about his policies yesterday, because he trotted out his, you know, teachers and first responders and other folks affiliated with unions that support him, basically, in the Rose Garden to push his jobs bill, which we, of course, Jim, have to pass immediately. And now we find out that of the $447 billion price tag, $421 billion of it is coming from the closing of tax loopholes for the wealthiest of Americans and the major corporations and the corporate jet owners. So big surprise that spending cuts, not so much.
Barack Obama continues to be absolutely determined to try to get House Republicans to pass a tax increase that House Democrats refused to do for 2 years. There's something kind of, you know, he wanted this during the debt ceiling fight. He wanted this during... throughout these budgetary fights, and he's never gotten it. And why he thinks Republicans are going to change their mind on this is quite baffling. The other thing which is fascinating to come out with this morning is you listen to David Axelrod on Good Morning America saying, look, this is not a buffet. This is not a la carte. You cannot pick and choose which parts of the Obama jobs plan you like. It must be passed in its entirety, and Republicans need to compromise. So basically, you can just kind of see the mainstream media narrative taking shape that it is time for these Republicans to be reasonable and to compromise by giving Obama exactly what he wants, exactly how he wants immediately.
Jim, that's because the president is compromising and bringing all these ideas together that Republicans have supported in the past. There's no reason to vote no. None. Whatsoever.
None. as Herman Cain would say last night.
And Herman Cain mentioned last night that the one thing he would bring to the White House is a sense of humor, because America needs that. Another person who needs that is the man who is standing next to him. That would be former Utah Governor John Huntsman, who, gosh darn it, tried a couple of times. And as a couple of folks on the Twitter feed as we were following said, Huntsman would be the perfect candidate for 1993. Some sort of strange Kurt Cobain reference to the different plans that were out there, and just other situations where Huntsman's trying to look hip and cool and make himself relevant, and it's just not working.
Do you ever watch a baseball hitter just take the biggest, hardest swing they possibly can at a ball and just miss completely?
Sure.
That was John Huntsman last night, particularly with that first, you know, and he almost paused a little bit after the Kurt Cobain reference, waiting for the laugh, and it was just dead silence. Just there, like I think half the people in the audience just didn't even, like, we're trying to wait. Congressman Cobain, is Tom Holberg? Is he, you know, completely missing the record? I mean, it took me a moment to get it. I think people had to explain which song it was, and then of course, you know, Twitter is full of people joking. And I come to this campaign liking John Huntsman a lot more than a lot of other conservatives, but it's just an awful performance and just some off note jokes. He said that Rick Perry, you know, suggesting we can't secure the border is a treasonous comment, kind of playing on Bernanke, you know, Perry saying Bernanke printing too much money would be almost treason. I mean, like, it was just all these jokes that needed to be explained. And if you have to explain the joke, you can't save it. And it's just it was painful. I'd hate to quote Kurt Cobain to John Huntsman, but come as you are. You know, don't force it. Just be who you are. If you know, if he has cornier jokes from Utah, fine. You know, don't try to be hip for the kids. It was just weird. And apparently some people would say, no, that was Huntsman. Maybe he is like this, you know, in real life. It just seemed like a desperate plea for attention. And when you're at, you know, 1 or 2%, maybe you have to try that kind of stuff. But it just didn't work. When candidates try to force something, it very rarely comes out, you know, comes across the way it ought to.
Exactly. It's a Tea Party Express audience. So guess what, Governor Huntsman?
That's
you're
a good
not,
point.
You're not going to be one of their
you
favorites.
Bring out the early 90s Seattle references. I mean, there's... There's
exactly.
Two tea partiers at some coffee house in Seattle saying, yeah.
Exactly. There's a couple folks that, you know, that they like better than others up on stage. Mitt Romney wasn't their favorite, but Mitt Romney just went forward with what he knew. And John Huntsman tried some gimmicks to get more attention, and it's just not working. So anyway, for those of you with a debate withdrawal already, I think there's another one next week. So be ready for that.
A second. At least a little bit more time.
Exactly. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next Three Martini Lunch.